Okay, the call to worship tonight is Psalm 100. Let's read it all together, all the way through. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Amen. And no, we're not going to sing that one.
Well, the subject is joy tonight, and there are many events that have brought Georgina and I into much joy in our lives. But the thing that's brought most joy into our lives is when we've seen at various times each of our three sons coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, our eldest son, he came to faith through the ministry of David Coffey, who was a young leader at Roy Hessian's camp at Clevedon. He had a great time there. Gareth fell in the water, and they hauled him out, complete with overcoat and all the rest, but there we are. Paul now attends the Michelin Fellowship. And the last I knew of him, he was working with the young people. Him and Pamela, his wife, were working with the young people. And that's great. That's lovely. Thank you for that, Lord. Gareth, you must have known what I was going to talk about tonight because he's absent. Yes, sir. Well, there we are. He's our youngest son. And he came to faith whilst we were living up in Milham, up in Cumbria. And Peter Grayson, who was part of the top end of the Sunday school, he was doing his Duke of Edinburgh's award, and for community service, he decided to do Sunday school teaching. And God is faithful all the time, because at that time, Peter shared with Gareth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Gareth came through for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise the Lord for that. Very quiet, but thank you, Lord, for that.
Okay. As Lena said earlier, joy is different from happiness. Joy is an inner thing. It's a state of heart and mind, and it's rooted in our innermost being. And joy is something that's always with us, whether we've only got 10% or whether we're 100%, it's something that's constantly there, and things can overlay that. If things go wrong in life, we feel damped down, but the joy is still underneath if it's a godly thing. Happiness, it's this transient thing, as Lena mentioned. There are times and places and circumstances where we're so happy we could burst. Affy nearly burst last night when she knocked all the Skittles down with one ball. That was amazing. Amazing. And then Bibi was bouncing around later because she managed to get the only Skittle left standing. Wonderful. Great happiness. But, you know, these things can fade. They can be cut dead in a moment's notice when something bad happens. And that's why we need the underlying joy of God. It's this, the underlying characteristic of our personality. And if we want more joy, we need more of Jesus and his Holy Spirit in our lives. Because only God can grow this joy in us. And there's a joy in fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, in recognizing God at work when we're doing his will. You know, when the two Marys went to anoint Jesus' body, they found the tomb empty. And they're also in a pretty sorry state when they went there. They find the tomb's empty. Oh, no, what's happened now? But an angel, shining as bright as lightning, Not just a gentleman sitting there in his suit with a couple of wings on his back. He was as bright as lightning, and he told them, Jesus has risen from the dead. Go and tell the disciples. And the two women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. You know, it's a pretty scary thing. You've watched Jesus die on the cross, being buried, and they go to anoint his body, and oh goodness, what's gone wrong? But they say this lightning figure says he's risen. The joy that rose up in them. So their fear did not overcome the joy. God was at work in raising Jesus, and God filled them with that joy. In Luke 10, Jesus sent 72 disciples, or apprentices as I like to call them, sent them out to practice the craft of their master, to go out two by two, tell the good news, heal the sick. And later they returned with joy and said, even the demons submit to us in your name. There was this great deep joy at fulfilling God's plans for them. And those of you who've been on mission, you know, a week out with TFM on mission somewhere, by the end of the week, there's this joy is just sort of underlying. You sort of feel as if you're floating off the ground a bit because you've been out there doing what God has asked you to do, and you've been bringing people to the Lord during the week, and it's just that joy. It's not happiness, it's joy that just lifts you up. It's fantastic being away with, you know, a few teams of 10 in the town. Everybody on your team's got the same aspirations, and that joy is contagious. In Luke 10, in verse 21, coming back to our 72 people, just after that, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. You know, Jesus was full of that joy. Where did that joy come from? The Holy Spirit. Yes. You know, in John 15, Jesus told the parable of the vine and the branches. And then he says to his disciples, his apprentices, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love if you obey my commands. This is one of the ifs of Jesus. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So it's linked with obedience. When we obey God, we're fulfilling his purposes in our lives, and that joy comes through. And our joy will be complete. So our obedience results in joy. When God's at work in our lives, such that we fulfill his purpose, we become more joyful. Who wants more joy? A sprinkling of hands, everybody. Good. Wonderful. Now, if that inner joy is there, bad things may damp it down on the happiness scale, but the underlying joy comes back afterwards. And in John 16, Jesus predicts his leaving, his death, and his return after his resurrection. And let me just read those verses to you. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him more. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief. He's telling them it's going to come. He's preparing them. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. In that day, you'll no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. But ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. whatever you ask in my name. Now, in those days, the concept of a name wasn't just, you know, a label that you hang on someone's shirt, stitched into the back. It meant the sort of identity. It was synonymous with a person's identity, and it was special to be allowed to use a person's first name. In the past, in this country, we would have talked about people as Mr. This or Mrs. That. Even if you were fairly good friends, you'd need to get fairly close friends to start using first names. And I've even seen in some of these historical plays on television where a husband and wife are calling Mr. and Mrs. You know, it was sort of a bit formal back then. But a name was special, and you wouldn't use their first names unless you were on first name terms. Now, in the Maasai tribes, you would not address a stranger by their first name today. It would be over-familiar. It's not done. You wait till you get to know them a bit. They're sort of getting used to it because they're meeting these white men who come out there and start using their first names. So if we pray and ask for something in Jesus' name, we're not using it like a magic word. It's not Harry Potter land, you see. We need to ask in the identity of Jesus, asking for something with our nature in his nature in ours. So we're asking, if you like, under the cover of his identity, the name of Jesus, asking according to his will. And then we will be asking completely in line with his will, and it will be done for us. Ask and you will receive. Ask in line with God's will for that moment, and his purpose will be fulfilled. And what's the outcome? Your joy will be complete. Get it? Got it. Good. Now, what is it sets the angels rejoicing in heaven? When we bring someone to the Lord, when a sinner repents, there is much rejoicing in heaven. It's party time when we bring someone to the Lord, when they repent and give their lives to God. And, you know, some people, they might have this inner joy, but they got a long face all the time. You know, if you got joy there, tell your face about it. Tell your face about it. Let it shine through. Sometimes things damp it down, but try and remember, God's got it. Got it? Good. Now, when I prayed about this short talk, God gave me these words for you before I started writing, so I wrote them down. So, sort of listen up to God as I read his words for us. He said, "Wear my joy like a bright garment rooted inside you. Let my joy fill your heart. Ask and you will receive. Believe and it will come. Take my joy, claim it for yourself. Let the dullness of life recede, fade until my bright light comes to the fore. Trust in me and I will do this. Claim it in your heart." So thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, help us to wear your joy like the bright garment. Let it be rooted deep inside us. Lord Jesus, we want more of you. Please come and fill our hearts. We give ourselves afresh to you. We repent of those things we've done wrong. We say we're sorry, Lord. We decide to follow you, to obey you, to be obedient. Help us to turn from our old ways and be more like you, because we want to fulfill your purpose in our lives. We want our joy to be complete. So please help us, Lord. Prompt us strongly where we need to be prompted strongly. Help us to wake up and hear you better so we can follow your narrow path, your particular ministry for our lives. We claim that joy for ourselves. We turn from the dull things in our lives. Let your bright light come through, Lord, to the fore. Help us to trust in you more and more. We claim that trust in you for ourselves. Please fill us, Lord, with that certain hope, that certainty that all is well and all is well and all manner of things shall be well. Whatever happens round us in the world, all shall be well. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.